Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It is Discover the Finger Lakes on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM. It's a gorgeous sunshine today. A little bit warmer weather, but the next couple of days are going to be even warmer, much warmer. A little bit of rain perhaps too, but it's going to feel pretty awesome to have 60-degree weather the next couple days. And I think maybe it's crept up 66 now on Monday. So possibility of a thunderstorm. And I'm guessing that the toads might lay some eggs, maybe even Sunday night, because it's going to be a warm night. And usually, one of the first warm nights of April, the toads will lay eggs in our pond. I was out walking along the Lehigh Station Trail, kind of between the U of R and RIT, looking in some of the wetlands for eggs, and I think I saw a couple of frogs. They just because they sort of ducked down and away, and I couldn't really see them, but something moved quickly in the water, and probably wasn't a fish given these wetlands, and you know, just a process of elimination. I figured that that maybe it was a frog, but I didn't see any eggs. So some of them have laid eggs. I've seen some photos of people who found them, but I haven't yet. And again, if you do see some, let me know. Yeah, it's one of those signs of spring, and I'm hoping to bring a few eggs back to my pond, because I generally only have toads in our pond, and I don't know, maybe the toads have taken control over the pond, and so they're not going to let any other frogs or anything else in. So, again, who knows if that's the case, but, anyway, email me if you do run into some. I'm constantly out kind of keeping track of what's happening, in the wetlands, and, it's just a connection to nature that, that we need, that I need at least, and watching the Blue Jays building a nest in our front yard in a tree. I was walking through Highland Park yesterday, kind of getting a preview of what was in bloom for the gardening show, and there were robins everywhere. They're just having a field day finding worms in Highland Park. And there are a lot of things in bloom. And again, we want to keep social distancing. I don't know, crowds of people to descend on Highland Park, and generally they don't this early in the season anyway, but you know, if you stay off the trails, and we haven't had much rain really, at least not, you know, heavy soaking rains, so it hasn't been too much of a problem to walk off the trail. And you know, I walked maybe for an hour in Highland Park yesterday. And I saw like four people. You know, there really weren't many people out because it was cold and windy. But if you're off the trail, you won't see many at all. We've got a special guest with us from Gallia's Tropical Greenhouse and Florist, Joe Gallia. Good morning, Joe.
Morning, Michael. How are you today?
Very well. The sunshine helps, right? It's got to warm your greenhouse quite a bit.
It is fantastic. That sun, better than yesterday, but, you know, it was with the wind and the cold, but no, it's very nice. The sun is out, and it makes everybody want to get out and start working out in the yards. But it's, you know, just a little damper on doing that at this point in time.
Right. Well, it wouldn't really be Easter without some snow, would it? You know, that's not uncommon.
You're right. No, it's always, we've always had our Rochester weathers. It's never predictable, but always right. Interesting.
And each year you get in a lot of plants for Easter, and you're doing curbside service so people can pick up Easter plants still?
Yes, we are, a little, naturally, like everybody, we've got some a different way of doing business today. We're trying to do a hands-off, as far as on all products. So our interior part of our greenhouse and building is shut down from the public. So it's just, it's just my two sisters, me, and I have a niece and a nephew that are all helping us. And so we're doing more with, we're trying to be as protective as we can from whether it's the pots or plants or any kind of, Easter plants, Easter lilies and things of that sort. And it's all curbside. So we kind of got a neat system where you come in, make a phone call, we answer it, you tell us what you're looking for, or you pre-book your orders. We've got a lot of those. And, we hustle as quick as we can to get the product out. We have a tent, two big American flags right out in the middle of the driveway, and we put your product there. And, we've got a great response from people. They seem to like that a lot, that, we're keeping as safe as we possibly can.
Yeah. And what kind of plants are available?
Well, we have our complete line of Easter plants, from lilies to tulips to hyacinths, mini daffs. We've got the whole rack of herbs. We got, that's kind of becoming all of a sudden a big item right now. People want to get their herbs started. They want to, whether it's inside or out. Outside, you got to be careful with their temperatures. That's been a big point. We still have all our normal interior indoor tropical plants, from a 2-inch pot with succulents all the way up to 20-inch containers with large indoor tropicals, citrus trees. Our greenhouses are fully open. Our interior, we're fully open, but just not to the public. We kind of do the shopping for you.
So, exactly.
And
and I had my my lemon tree outside for the last week, but I brought it in with this drop in temperature, and it'll go back outside in about a week and should be okay at that point. I do like growing my own limes and lemons, and you have a bunch of small ones people can get, and the flowers are amazing on them, aren't they? The fragrance?
It's funny when, our greenhouse, it's just going, it's bursting right now. And and with these citrus trees that we have, all these plants, they're in bloom. And you walk in, you feel like you just walked through an orange grove. It's quite amazing. It's very enjoyable. It's just unfortunate we're not allowing the public to go in and enjoy the same. Hopefully, soon we'll be opening up. Hopefully, this whole virus deal will be slowly sliding by us, and we'll be able to get back to regular type life, as regular as it'll be. How's that?
Right. Well, we'll probably have to wear masks for a while, but we can keep the hospitals from being overwhelmed right now, and we're learning more about it every day. And April, Easter obviously is a huge weekend for you in terms of flowers and things, but April in general it's like you said, it's kind of too early to put a lot of things in the garden. It's May that we really need, and so if we can shut things down enough for April that we can get the nurseries more open in May, that's the key, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we always look at March and April. You get those real nice sunny warm day, and you're like, oh, let's get started. But reality, it's too early. And Mother's Day usually starts to kick off, so we're keeping our fingers crossed. I think we're still going to be, I won't say shut down, but we're going to be very limited to what we can actually, you know, have people, you know, go through and work through. And I think we're still going to be with, you know, how many people can actually come into the shop, you know. And we're trying to protect ourselves, too. Not only do we want to protect the public, but we're protecting ourselves. So, you know, we don't want to catch it because that'd even be worse than how do we open, you know. So we're, you know, we're being very cautious right at this point in time, and as everyone should be. So that it's a, and like I said before, it's a lot of extra work, but it's just the way it is, and we're getting, you know, high compliments from our customers. They're a lot of people have been, you know, they said they're very happy to find out that we are doing curbside only, and that, you know, we aren't letting the mass public come walking through our nursery at this point in time. So, you know, that makes us feel like, okay, this was worth, you know, doing the extra, you know, walk, the extra mile to try to, you know, work with our customers, you know, and we're holding this virus out of here, you know, or, you know, and trying to contain it as much as possible.
And so, you've been in business a long time. You've never seen something like this, right?
Never, ever. I mean, we've gone through windstorms. We've gone through, you know, 12 inches of snow on Mother's Day. We've gone through, you name it, you know, weather-wise, and, you know, and issues with plants and all of that, you know. And you know, at those times, we thought, oh, my God, this is devastating. This is more than devastating. This is a life change, what we're running into now. This isn't just going to be like, okay, now we can, you know, let's just water the plants and everything's back to normal. It's going to change life for everybody as we knew it. And, you know, that's just how it is. So we just have to learn that we will have to change. And you know what? There's always a worse side to this whole thing. So right now, I think we're pretty pleased the way things are running right at the moment.
Are you delivering bags of mulch and things?
Well, we do full delivery. You know, we got, you know, an array of, actually, my sister Sue, who does a lot of the flower arrangements, she goes, I feel this is like a Valentine's Day. She goes, we've got deliveries going out, we've got flowers going out, roses, and she said it feels like Valentine's with, you know, being such a rush. Normally Easter is more, you know, potted plants and things of that sort, and arrangements. But it's been a very strong week with you know, flowering plants and potted arrangements going out. So, which is all good. Which we're very appreciative that you know, our customer base you know, are supporting us. It's very, very helpful, especially you know, we've got our spring merchandise just, you know, piling up on us, and it's like, okay, we'll have to try to sell this at some point in time. But, you know,
it all comes in this time of the year to the nurseries. But it is, you know, while we may not want to plant things in our garden this week, I was mentioning on the gardening show, a neighbor planted 3 or 4 big lupin plants they'd gotten somewhere. And I don't know how those are going to survive the cold nights we've had and those coming up, but mulching is a good time of year to mulch, right? You know, make your yard look nice with some fresh mulch.
Oh yeah, and again, it's all hands off. I mean, we have it all fenced off where when you come in, you tell us what you like. We load a cart, we bring it over to our loading spot, and we just ask the customers, you know, please let us get it over there before you come up, and then it'll be there for you to, you know, to load in your car. And we also, I mean, we've had some elderly couples come in, and we tell them, look, if you can't load your car, please just go sit in your car, open your trunk, we'll place it in your trunk, and then you can come out and close your trunk and drive off. We don't want to make it too hard on, you know, people. If you can't lift a, you know, a 50, 60-pound bag of topsoil, you don't want you straining yourself. But again, we're still trying to protect ourselves and protect the public. So, and like I said, people have been very, very gracious, you know, very, very patient because, you know, this is everything is brand new and doing curbside for us. But it every day seems a little bit smoother. So, we're pleased. We're very pleased. So,
If someone needs a big green egg, you're still selling those curbside?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that, you know, we do curbside with that, and we also, and we set them up too. So, we've had a few go out. You know, people are, you know, they still want to grill. I mean, I have to say, the days have been pretty good for grilling. We've had some nice nights and nice weather for grilling. So, and you know, we've had some sales on that. Not as much as when it's going to be like, you know, full summertime, spring, you know, when everybody's jumping out. But again, it's everything changes. This is going to be a very interesting year as far as you know, for the summer. Just a lot of stuff is going to change. So, but right now, you know, we're doing our best.
Thank you for all your work to set up that curbside system and that. It inspires people and reminds them to be careful. So good luck and happy Easter to you and your family, Joe.
Oh, and you too, Michael. Thank you very much. And to everybody out there, and again, just stay safe. And hopefully this will pass, and we'll be back and running again. So, but I appreciate the call.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Michael. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye-bye. That's Joe Gallia. Gallia's tropical greenhouse and florist in Pittsford, the corner of Jefferson and Clover. And again, lots of Easter plants that they're doing their curbside service. And the I really do love having a lime and lemon tree that just adds a tropical dimension to our house in the winter and the yard in the summer. This year, I've had them generally in the back yard down by our vegetable garden, but this year I'm going to put them up on our flat roof and grow them up on this outdoor flat roof that we have. See if that may produce even more limes and lemons. We will take a quick break. Be back afterwards from our sponsors, Michael Warren Thomas here on Discover the Finger Lakes. Michael Warren Thomas here with the sponsors of Discover the Finger Lakes, without which I wouldn't be on the radio. Let them know that you listen. And one of those Full Moon Vista Bike and Sport, we'll talk with Scott Page here this morning about the bicycles that they have now, the repairs that they're doing, tune-ups, etc., so that people can get out and get some exercise on their bicycles, use that for transportation. And again, spring is here. Time to get outside on a bicycle. It's fullmoonvista.com for more information. And Glenora Wine Cellars, they are down on the west side of Seneca Lake. They can ship wine to you. And you can get really a wide variety of wines. You may not realize that they do fruit wines and as well as the vinifera wines. They have quite a range of fruit wines, too, from some tropical ones and some really delicious things like watermelon and pineapple wine to, you know, the raspberry and a bunch of others. But they also have Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, Meritage, dry reds, gorgeous Chardonnay, Riesling, Pinot Blanc. Many wines to sample, maybe get a mixed half case or case, and some great deals on shipping these days. It's Glenora.com for more information. Their retail shop will be closed. They're doing curb service, but will be closed tomorrow because of Easter. But you can order online and go to Glenora.com and get more information. And Glenora.com. Also brought to you by the Hunt Country Vineyards, huntwines.com. You can find more information about them. And they also shipping wine. They make a cream sherry, which is kind of unusual in the Finger Lakes, although it used to be huge. It was a big category decades ago. They are one of the few producers still making a cream sherry, as well as a wide range of dry reds and whites and dessert wines, including a traditionally made ice wine. So get details at huntwines.com in Keuka Lake, right above Branchport, and one of the most sustainable wineries in the Northeast. They really have won some awards for sustainability with both geothermal and solar installations. They have an upright, narrow wind turbine. They're doing a lot in their vineyards with biodynamic practices and encouraging birds and raptors to help with insect and rodent control. They've also trying to encourage bees and the pollinators, providing nectar for them. So a wide range of things, and also some delicious wines. So huntwines.com for more details. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on Discover the Finger Lakes.
So I traveled all around this beautiful Empire State, from Onondaga County to the tip of Keuka Lake. And I walked up Bald Hill looking down on paradise. I was amazed by the beauty of the lake called Canadice. I was amazed by the beauty of the lake called Canadice.
Welcome back. Michael Ryan Thomas here. It is Discover the Finger Lakes on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM. And if you have some cool places you've been recently, maybe, and some of the parks out exploring, email me, michael@saverlife.com. You can reach us here, 585-346-3000. It's some beautiful sunny weather today. Hope you get a chance to get out and I've discovered a whole lot of interesting shrubs and trees and parts of Highland Park and Durand Eastman that I never been before. Partly just trying to stay away from people and go to the lesser known, lesser visited sections. But I was a Paulownia tree, also called an empress tree, that I didn't realize there was one in Highland Park, and I ran into that yesterday. Found some honeysuckle and viburnum blooming in areas that probably a lot of people don't go, but they have some of the best views in Highland Park, some of the highest points of Highland Park. So get off the trails. Today's a chilly day and still kind of windy, so it's the wind chill is not insignificant. So 39 degrees, a wind chill of 30 right now, so that's not exactly a balmy day. And it is going to get even windier, I think, and up to about 46. So wear a couple layers and dress for a chilly day and get outside and do some exploring. I did hear Brighton has closed the parking lot at Corbett's Glen Park, we need to be careful about overusing areas of the parks and have the potential to get them shut down. So be aware of that, and you know, and wear a mask if there are other people around. Keep one with you. Make a homemade one. They're super easy to do. Pair of scissors and a t-shirt, and you can make probably 6 masks from that one t-shirt, and not have to sew anything. And once you do that, you know, maybe you decide you want to do a more, you know, something fancy or something with specific fabric that you have, and you can learn it. It's really not very hard to sew. Have a few masks available. But just be aware of how you put them on, how you take them off, wash them, maybe each time you use them, which is nice then to have a few extra ones available. I was out, went and picked up a bicycle from Fumun Vista this week and had my butterfly mask on. So it's a fabric that has butterflies on it. So as I said during the gardening show, if you see someone with one of those, it's probably me. So there's not too many people wandering around with masks with butterflies on it. And that, you know, my mask helps to keep you safe, and the mask that you wear helps to keep me safe. We're learning more about just how far the particles, droplets, which can include the virus, can travel if you cough or sneeze. And keep in mind, you know, if there are some churches that supposedly will be open tomorrow around the country. I don't know about any here, but and it's understandable that people want to come together on Easter, of course. But when you're in church and when you're singing, you are projecting your voice. You're projecting some particles of moisture from your mouth too. That's just inevitable, and that is one of the worst things that you can do in transmitting this disease. And it just takes one person in that congregation who's singing. And if you go online, you can find some kind of cool demonstrations, a whole variety of sources of how far those particles go when you cough or sneeze, and you can imagine how far they go when you're singing. That one person can really spread that coronavirus through a big portion of that church in the process of singing. So that's, you know, even if some churches decide to get together tomorrow, it doesn't mean you have to go, or your relatives or friends have to go. And, you know, the mask, again, is intended to keep you from spreading it even more than it works to keep you from getting the coronavirus. So I would, if people are willing to go to a church and congregate tomorrow for Easter, I doubt they're wearing masks. And that's really asking for trouble, serious trouble. And I don't mean the legal trouble. I mean getting other people sick. Because you can have this coronavirus, COVID-19, and not know it. You can be asymptomatic. Maybe 20 or 25% of people can have it and not show any symptoms, or very few symptoms. And that's a lot of potential people. So I also said during the gardening show this morning, don't take any solace in the or confidence in the relatively low number of cases in Monroe County, because they're not testing a lot of people that probably have it, even though they know they probably have it. They're not testing them because they don't have the tests. And as long as this continues with no testing, we are going to be locked down longer. And until it becomes a national priority to test, we are locked down. We've got to have the testing going on. We've got to be wearing masks. We have to be tracing contacts and things from people that do become positive. And if we're doing those things, we can get back to doing a lot more business. But until that happens, don't see how that is how we can get back to reduce this lockdown. So at some point, maybe the federal government will decide it's a priority to test people. It's a complete mystery to me right now why they haven't already decided that and used the Defense Production Act to produce those tests. Other parts of the world have shown that that can make a huge difference, and economies can be moving if that kind of testing is going on and masks are being worn. But until that happens here, we are stuck in this limbo. Again, if you run into some beautiful areas to explore that are not many people around, email me, michael@saverlife.com. And got some cool photos. There's a huge azalea in bloom in Highland Park. It's the size of a small room. It's a large azalea. And it's right at near the top of the stairs that go from right near the corner of Reservoir and Goodman. And that is across the street from the Colgate Rochester Seminary, and there's this long set of stairs that go up and bring you up kind of to reservoir level. And they're not used that often. They're frankly often icy when it's really cold out. But right now, that azalea is a beautiful kind of purple pink azalea is in full bloom. It's huge. It's really beautiful. And I was taking some photos and kind of moving off the stairs, letting people by, and trying to catch the sunlight coming through this huge azalea. It's crazy. It should be this early in bloom. But some of the azaleas that bloom without the leaves on them are very early, and there's a couple others starting to bloom in Highland Park. So you can just drive up Reservoir Road from Goodman and look up to your left, and you'll see this azalea in full bloom. And then the Pinetum area of Highland Park, very few people go in that area. It's just to the right as you come up Reservoir Road from Goodman. That whole area to the right is the Pinetum, and you can often park along there, and you probably won't see anyone as you're hiking up through that area. And it goes down almost to, Mount Vernon. It's a pretty big area to explore, and some really beautiful pine cones, some beautiful pine, spruce, juniper, arborvitae, tons of different kinds of evergreen trees and shrubs in that area of Highland Park. It's beautiful right now, and also somewhat protected from the wind. If you're up by the lilacs, it is a windy section. I found a couple of lilacs that are close to blooming, so they've pushed their buds out. You can see the individual flowers. They just haven't opened yet, and there's always a few early lilacs. These, you know, there's like 500 varieties. Some of them are very early blooming, and you can usually find them in bloom in April, often by mid-April. And with a couple of warm days coming tomorrow and Monday, I'm going to go back and see how close to blooming they are by later on Monday. But they are very close. Unfortunately, those early ones sometimes get frosted as if the weather gets cold enough. Luckily, up on the hill there in Highland Park, they are somewhat protected from the cold, the extreme cold, because cold air sinks. And as long as it's not too windy, the areas lower at the bottom of a hill will be much colder than the top of the hill, assuming it's not a mountain. And obviously the temperatures change quite a bit. But this is what keeps the vineyards in the Finger Lakes from freezing, is the hillsides that move the cold air, which just sinks down, and it makes a world of difference when it's on the edge of a frost. It's 30 degrees, the cold air will settle, and it might be the difference between frost damage and no damage at all if that hillside is moving that air. It flows like a river. The coldest air just settles right down and makes a huge difference. So in the Niagara Peninsula in Canada, where they don't have the hillsides that we do, it's very flat. They've got wind turbines that are used on nights like last night and now probably this week to help move the air because they don't have the hillsides. And they only use them a few nights a year, maybe in the fall with early frosts and in the spring with late frosts. And other than that, these wind turbines just sit there. Expensive equipment, but they have to use them because they don't have the hillsides that we do. And that kind of difference helps the lilacs in Highland Park. Now, last year, maybe 2 years ago, some of those early lilacs did get frosted. But hopefully this year, right now the forecast, we have 3 30-degree nights in a row this coming week. And 30 degrees hopefully won't damage them, but it's close. It goes down to 28. Maybe they do. If it's 31, 30 degrees, maybe they don't get hurt. But that's why perhaps most of the lilacs wait a little while to send their flowers out, just these few early ones. So they're right across from Azalea Road that comes into Highland Park or Highland Avenue. And so if you're walking among the lilacs and you see Azalea Road and you sort of walk up from there, that's where I found some of these that are getting fairly close to blooming, and a few groundhogs too. We have a special guest with us now from Full Moon Vista Bike and Sport. It's the founder, owner, Scott Page. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. The sun is out. That's all I ask. The sun.
Yes, it's nice. Better than snow yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday was that was a little wintry yesterday morning. So, Full Moon Vista and bike stores in general are considered essential businesses, right, for transportation?
Yep. Yeah, we got that. It got approved right after. In the beginning, it didn't get approved. It was just automobiles. And then some people questioned it, and the government administration decided that, yes, it was appropriate. So, yeah, we're fortunate. We're kind of blessed that we're still open. So we've just taken all the precautions necessary. But it's been going well so far.
I dropped off a bicycle for a tune-up, and you guys wiped down the bicycle and things before I took it out. The schedule right now for doing tune-ups and things, people should call and make an appointment or drop them off? How does that work?
Yeah, we've been doing it mostly through appointments, and then people can drop it off, and they know it'll be done like within a day, and they can get it back. And then the bike isn't just sitting here waiting, because we did get pretty, I think all bike shops got pretty backed up, because a lot of people were thinking, even if they're not using their bike for transportation, they're thinking, I wouldn't mind getting out on my bike.
Yeah.
Kind of a nice way to get out and get some exercise instead of just being cooped up in your house. So, yeah, we've been inundated with a lot of service, a lot of tune-ups, and it's been going good. I think all the bike shops are.
Now, if people want to look at a new bicycle, I think when I was dropping mine off, someone was one of your customers, and customer was wearing a mask, which was good. They took a bicycle out to test drive it.
Yeah, what's happened there is a lot of people where they're bringing their bikes in, and you're getting a lot of these bikes out of the basement or something that hasn't been ridden in so long, and maybe it's a hand-me-down or needs too much work to make it worthwhile. So that person is deciding, like, all right, I can't get my bike repaired. Can I just get a new one? And they want to get back on the road, and they want to, if they're using it for work, getting back and forth or whatever. So those are kind of the instances where we're doing new bike sales. But mostly we're here for repairs, but we've been, when appropriate, take the steps to make sure somebody is still on a bike and if they want to be in, can get out there and ride.
And is it disc brakes that are kind of the new braking system that a lot of bicycles have moved to?
Yeah, from road bikes. Of course, mountain bikes is where it all started, but hybrids, everything's using disc brakes now. You can still get some of the old cantilevers and V-brakes and stuff on bikes, but everything is moving over to disc. It just it works so well. It's very easy to get your tire or your wheel on and off the bike, and just the performance is amazing. So everybody's loving disc. And then with road bikes, the big thing there is that you can put wider tires on your bike now. So people are going to a wider platform, which is more comfortable, and they can get, they can suddenly do gravel roads and all kinds of stuff. So it's kind of opened up a whole new frontier for people. But disc has been very accepted by the public and, bike racers alike. Everybody's loving it, so it's been fantastic.
Is it something that makes the bicycles a lot more expensive, or is it just something that the technology has changed and they've been able to adapt it to more different kinds of bicycles?
It definitely has raised the price of the bikes, but not that much, because most of the models going to it kind of drove the price down because they're making them in such vast amounts now, so that was kind of the nice part. 10 years ago, if this would have happened, it would have really jacked up the price a lot. But it's appropriate, the amount of money that is charged extra for this product, because it's so good. And whenever somebody rides it, they understand pretty quickly, like, how nice disc brakes are. So it's very good. People are loving it.
Yeah. Scott Page is with us from Full Moon Vista Bike and Sport, and one of my favorite events of any kind, forget whether it's bicycling or whatever, but favorite events of any kind is the Criterium. And you've decided you're going to cancel it for this year, I think, right?
Yeah, we had to make that decision. And we didn't really have much choice in it.
Right.
It was the right thing to do, and the city of Rochester gave me a call, and they were nice about it. They just, it was kind of a collaboration, which is nice. But the other problem is that we get so many athletes from different parts of the world that we knew that there was no way they were ever going to get here. So it was just, you can't put one of these events on with weeks to go. It takes so long to put it together. You kind of got to pull the plug ahead of time before people start trying to find hotel rooms and all that kind of stuff. They couldn't have found them anyway. So
right.
I think it was the right thing to do. And we're just going to reload and do it next year. And we're in a pretty good place. So I'm looking forward to the 2021 version. And the big thing is just getting through this COVID issue that we have and getting everybody healthy and getting our country back.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And again, as people are perhaps riding bicycles they haven't ridden in a while, keep in mind having lights, and so drivers can see you, and And reflective gear also makes a big difference in visibility. We don't want to see people getting injured or killed bicycling because they maybe don't have the right equipment.
Yeah, the amount of the gear that all bike shops are selling nowadays it's amazing how many people have gravitated towards that. You know, they want to have the right color. You know, they want to have the high vis yellow or green. They want to be seen. So if that kind of apparel is now, it's like a staple item, where it used to be kind of fashion driven, and it's not anymore. People just, they don't even think twice about it. You know, they just, I want a yellow jacket so I can really be seen out there. And then the lights have come around so far compared to what they used to be. Now they're really small, super lightweight, and they're USB, so they're rechargeable, most of them. So you can just, take your light in, plug it into your computer, and while you're at work, and, then they're good for a couple of weeks. And then, so it's kind of nice, you know, to keep replacing batteries all the time. You don't have the extra weight of that big battery either, so.
Yeah, they're LEDs.
The technology's been, yeah.
They're not using as much power, but they give a lot of light, super bright. So again, that's changed a lot in relatively few years, right? That's,
yeah, it has. The technology again is just incredible what they're able to do now with such a small device, and they can make it so incredible. And it's neat to hear a driver talk about it too, not even a cyclist, you know, about how they like the fact that it makes their world easier, because now they can see these cyclists, because, you know, nobody wants to have an accident. So
right.
It just makes it easier for the drivers too, you know, where they're appreciative that these lights are out there, because we're kind of all, it's almost like we've learned to look for cars. That's just the way it is. So when you're driving a car, you look for other cars. You're not really looking for bicyclists out there. So when a bicyclist can add that extra dimension of visibility, it just helps out that driver, you know. So it's fantastic. Keeps everybody safe.
Lastly, that you, I think you have small bicycles for kids to learn on, and if you know people are, you know, families are at home right now, you can get a kid learning on a bicycle, and they often don't have pedals, right?
Yeah, the little ones now they don't. They're they have this one called Striders, where the kid just gets on it and they basically paddle themselves along. And it's a great way to learn balance, because when they first started doing it, it's almost like they're walking with a bicycle in between them. But then pretty soon they're just paddling along, and they're gliding. And it's a great way for kids to get their balance. And it's kind of like the new way. And a lot of people are doing it instead of training wheels. And it works fantastic. I mean, we've watched kids, you know, get this down within minutes. It's just fascinating how little kids, their brains are pretty well adapted to finding balance, and if you give them the right tool, then they'll do that. So it kind of came out of Europe quite a few years ago, and now it's really exploded on the U.S. scene, but people are loving it.
Yeah, and training wheels are just, you know, just a disaster when you take the training wheels off. I mean, really, you know, this is so much better.
It is. The problem with training wheels, and we explain this to people, is that it you develop the wrong habits, because kids end up riding on one side or the other. So the brain is not finding balance. It's finding how to ride on two wheels in the back instead of ride on the one. So when you just omit the training wheels and you just do this Strider, it works fantastic. We've seen just amazing results with it. So I think it's the new way to go.
Yeah, but, you know, people who grew up with training wheels, you know, can't imagine that this other way can work. And we had some friends who are European, and so that's what their kids had, you know, 20 years ago. And we, it looks so strange to see
yeah.
them with these Striders. And now it's really all you have, right? I mean, you don't really do training wheels anymore.
We still have them for the people that just absolutely want them.
Yeah.
Because a kid will, you know, they'll find their way. It just takes longer. And,
right.
You know, and it's frustrating on the kid and the parent, and they they're just unaccepting of knowing that there might be a better way out there. So that's okay. I mean, as long as people get into it and they eventually start riding, and everybody's happy. But these Striders are just definitely amazing. And it's fun to watch the parents who doubt it, and then they put their kid on there, and all of a sudden the kid's just flying around. And it's really fun to watch.
Right. I mean, it's like a scooter, kind of.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Straddle it instead of riding on top of it.
Yeah. What are your hours right now for Full Moon Vista?
We're still on our winter hours, and we're going to remain there until this is gone. So we're open from noon to 6, Monday through Thursday. And then Friday and Saturday, we're open from 10 to 5.
All right. Well, Scott, thank you for the update, and good luck to you and your staff, your family, through all this.
Thank you.
Look forward to the crit in 2021.
Yeah, we do too. It'll just be great to get this behind us. So for everybody, it'll be lovely when that happens.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. That's Scott Page, owner, founder of Full Moon Vista Bike and Sport, and someone who has brought a lot of economic benefit to Rochester with the Criterium over the years. They've done that for many years, and it was due to happen in May. As he said, it will be 2021 that they'll look forward to. If you have comments, questions, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. Anything that we talked about this morning. Tomorrow we'll talk more about wine and what's happening in the world of wine. The Finger Lakes got even more accolades and things over the last couple of weeks. Wine Spectator came out with numerous 90-point ratings for Finger Lakes wines, particularly Forge Cellars, Fox Run, and Silver Thread. Among those three wineries, there were about a dozen 90-point scores. So congratulations to them. And Forge Cellars announced that they were going to be their Classique Dry Riesling. The 5% of those sales are going to go to a Restaurant Workers Association. And you know, the wineries like Forge, recognizing that they sell a lot of wine through restaurants, and restaurants and the waitstaff in particular just devastated right now with the shutdown. There are some chefs and some restaurant owners doing takeout, but vastly reduced staff, and the wait staff in particular really just out of work. And at this point, it's hard to tell when they will be back. So Forge Cellars, one of the wines, I think they got some national press in Wine Spectator for that that effort to try to help raise money for the Restaurant Workers Association. Well, if you want details, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com, or look up Forge Cellars on Facebook. You'll find some of their posts and the restaurants around the country are trying to figure out how to stay alive through this coronavirus shutdown. And some of them, as we talked to earlier, like Rohrbach's, being really careful about the takeout service. And as I said earlier, if you do get takeout, get more than just tonight's meal. Get several days worth, several meals. You can stretch those meals too. I've done with some of the takeout dinners that I had in my freezer. We still really need to stay home and wear masks if you have to go to the grocery store. do some research on places and what their practices are to help keep you safe before you go. I saw a note earlier, Newbury Park Pastries, they've been holding a sort of mini outdoor Brighton Farmers Market, just a few vendors in their space on Sundays, but because tomorrow is Easter, they're not going to do that, but they are having them there today from 11 this morning earlier till 2 or 3, somewhere in that range, depending on how much product they have, but 4 or 5 vendors there. Her location, which is Mushroom Boulevard in the Genesee Regional Market. So you can look them up, newburyparkpastries.com. We'll be back tomorrow with the grapevine. Again, wear a mask if you go out in public. Make a mask with a t-shirt or a bandana if you don't have one, and help keep other people safe. We'll be back tomorrow with the grapevine on WISL 1040.